Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're very happy to be with you. And over the last couple of weeks, we have had a mobile site in a beta test program. We've had our Backstage Pass members testing our mobile site, looking at the mobile site, giving us ideas and suggestions as to how we can make it better. And I've been very happy to do that. As a result, we're going to have a mobile site up and running very, very soon that is one that we feel will reflect the needs of our subscribers. And it's going to make logging in a lot easier for people who are subscribers. It's going to make navigating the site, even for people who are non-subscribers, it'll at least give you a working knowledge of the mobile site and where things are. I looked at it myself, and I was just blown away. I love how you can access the archives as quickly as possible. You can access the daily podcast, the classic podcast. The news feed is right there for you. And if there's anywhere else you have to navigate on the site, it's all very, very clearly delineated there. The menu bar, easy to use. And the login is very, very easy. It's the first thing you encounter. Some people are saying, well, how about an app where you log in automatically? You know, this is, and we are going to have an app, but we, as I mentioned to you, it's better to have your site the way you want it, or at least as close to the way you want it as possible, before you get apps, before you're spending money on apps and you're sending people to websites that maybe are not all that. With this mobile site, we'll have finished something that, you know, I've been wanting for years, and that is a good, easy-to-navigate mobile site, and one that you can log into easy as a subscriber. So it's time to get a Backstage Pass. Never been a better time. It's only $9.99 a month. We've had one price increase since 1999. That's 13 and a half years.
No, that's 14.
No, it isn't. It's 13.
It's, well, let's see, 99.
Hold on. 99, 2000, 2001, 2000. Wait a minute. You don't have to do that.
You sure it's?
I'm sure. 13 and a half years. We've had one price increase in 13 and a half years, and that took place in 2010, 2011, I forget. Anyway, Backstage Pass time now at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Make sure you get that and be ready for our mobile site when we launch. Now, I'm just here for the purposes of our friends on Phil TV in HD. I've logged in. And what I'm eventually going to do is go over to the videocast, which is what we are every night broadcasting or webcasting. We have not only our radio show, but we have a videocast of our show, which includes a pre-show. So you're able to watch during the pre-show all of the behind the scenes, and some of it highly personal, very inflammatory, fist fights break out. I'm kidding, but you know.
Just about, though.
Well, not just about, but there's some pretty crazy behavior. Anyway, that is accessible on your mobile unit as well. So our videocast is available on all devices, whether it is an iPhone, whether it is any kind of a smartphone, your iPad, your tablet, you can pick it up there. So it's, as I say, a great time to get a Backstage Pass at philhendryshow.com. I don't even know if I entered in the... Oh, I did. I entered in my my username and my password correctly. And if you're watching on Phil TV in HD, you will see there's my kisser right there on the mobile device.
You always say your kisser. That is such an outdated word.
Yeah, I'm saying, Bob, say your face.
I think face.
All right, well, I like kisser. All right, so Steven Spielberg, of all the people to sound the alarm on the decline and fall of the film industry, Steven Spielberg might seem like an improbable choice, but the director speaking with George Lucas at a ceremony celebrating the opening of a new building at the University of Southern California's film school said an implosion of his industry is inevitable. Case in point for him, Lincoln, which was a commercial and critical success, was apparently almost an HBO exclusive. He said, "We were this close. Ask HBO. This close," he said, in a response to Lucas's comment that eventually the Lincolns will go away. They're going to be on television. He only got the film into theaters in the first place because he basically owns his own infrastructure. So meaning Steven Spielberg has the ability to distribute. Steven Spielberg has the ability to get it into theaters. He may own some of the theaters. Steven Spielberg has great clout at the studios. I don't know how, maybe even has a piece of the action there. As documented by The Hollywood Reporter, George Lucas...
Wait. Why is George Lucas weighing in on Lincoln? That is Steven Spielberg's domain.
Yeah, that's Steven Spielberg movie. So, he can have an opinion about it.
Why can't he have an opinion?
Well, he can have an opinion, but it all seems very unseemly to me. I think if Steven Spielberg is holding forth about one of his own movies, and you're George Lucas, and you're, and another thing, and I'm Steven Spielberg, I would wheel about, okay? I would wheel.
What's wheel mean?
To wheel is to turn on your heel. So you raise your foot up so that you're on the heel of one foot. You lift up the other foot so you're literally balancing on that heel and then spin about and fix the individual with a glare as if to say, what do you think in all of your stupidity, what do you think this has gained you other than maybe another 30 seconds of life? What?
Hold on, because you're going off.
I'm going off what?
Tell me about how you wheel.
Yeah, what is that about? Are you talking about... What are you talking about?
I'm talking about George Lucas having the temerity. Okay, there's a very good word there, Phil, and for those of you listening at home, the temerity to engage Steven Spielberg and say to him, oh, well, look, and another thing, let me tell you all about Steven's movie. George, a word to the wise, and you and I have spoken before, George, you know that I never, ever pull punches. You know that I'm honest. I may be the only member of the media that's been to your home, eaten your cooking, slept in your beds, and that doesn't mean I've slept with George Lucas.
No, I understand.
But I have slept in a variety of his guest rooms, and I've been in your refrigerator at 2 a.m., and you've come down, and we've talked. And you know what I've said to you, George. I've said, would you stop? Give it up with all of the spooks and goblins and the fun things you do and make a real movie the way Steven Spielberg has. Make one with grit and with gristle and with muscle and quit making all the goblin, woo, the fairy star. I get so sick of it.
What do you mean?
I'm sick of George Lucas.
All right, Margaret, you have a way of telling a story.
Yes.
That is long and involved and then we don't get any information.
You think I'm going to give you the information? It'll be in my column tomorrow morning. A little bird told me, Dicklin Syndicate.
Well, can you give us an idea what you're going to be writing?
I'm basically going to say that the time has come for George Lucas to either put up or shut it. And I mean close it and then put tape across it. And yes, leave it laying in a park.
Oh, my God, that's like that little Casey Anthony girl.
Not Casey, Kaylee.
Oh, well, Margaret.
What? Well, I'm telling you, I'm getting...
If George Lucas and Steven Spielberg are friends, if he wants to make a statement about George Lucas's films, I think he can. I didn't see anything in the story where Steven Spielberg was objecting. And the point that they're trying to make that we're missing here, because you're telling me all about George Lucas and how you slept in his beds and how you ate in his refrigerator.
I did. And we're not talking about sex. So you can get that look off your face, Robert, and you can wipe that, spittle from your mouth, Bud. No, not hoo-hoo. I mean it.
All right, look. As documented by The Hollywood Reporter, Lucas added, you're talking about Steven Spielberg and George Lucas can get their movie into it. You're talking about Steven Spielberg and George Lucas can get their movie into a theater. Oh, okay. Spielberg's advice for the aspiring USC filmmakers was, well, straight out of a disaster film script, every man for himself. He said, eventually there's going to be an implosion. There's going to be an implosion where three or four or maybe even a half a dozen mega-budget movies are going to go crashing into the ground, and that's going to change the paradigm, as if it hasn't already, you know.
Well, the John Carter was an absolute... Whoever greenlit that, and we do know who greenlit it, I forget his name. He's out of a job, and as well he should be, and I love him. I forget his name, and I know it sounds ridiculous to say I love him, but I forget his name.
It does.
I'm sorry, I do. I love... I don't know who he is, but he lost his job as well he should have. He should have been escorted to the edge of the lot, to wherever the legal boundary is of that lot, that movie lot, escorted and then a boot put into the small of his back and kicked into the street as a bus goes by.
Yay.
Thank you.
But you love him.
Yes, I love him, but this is a hardball world, Phil.
All right, well, Mr. Spielberg goes on to say... That scenario presumably leaves established directors like Lucas and Spielberg to fight for their creative lives in a new and unforgiving world. But there's the thing. Here's the thing. Even as Lucas and Spielberg lamented the fall of their industry, they made a good case for more or less ignoring the demarcations between traditionally different forms of digital media, television, the internet, which would be Netflix, which Spielberg specifically praised, and even video games, which both Lucas and Spielberg dabbled in. An example, while lamenting that his industry doesn't take too kindly to risk your work these days, Lucas called cable television audiences much more adventurous. So while the big coming implosion will be a big deal to the industry itself, it's less clear what the two famous filmmakers think it means for people who just want to watch their work. So in other words, the same thing's happening in movies that happened in radio. There's all kinds of places for audio entertainment, and there's all kinds of places for audio entertainers to ply their trade, if you will. I make, from our digital platform right now, I'm making, at pinnacle of our radio career, and the Phil Henry terrestrial-only platform, we're making pretty damn close to that.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. But it's a business now, and I have an overhead, and I have a lot of employees, and I have, you know, so it's slightly different. But the fact remains that the digital world provides an income for this radio show, provides capital monies for this radio show, every bit as real and, if you will, juicy as the terrestrial world. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more. Margaret Gray is with us. We've got some more entertainment news. I know, Margaret, that you want to get into. And this has to do with who?
Well, this has to do with someone. Well, it's George. I'm going to hand this off to Bobby Dooley because I'm just going to lose my temper.
George Takei. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth yes, George is Takei. Our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We've got Bobby Dooley in here, and she's going to be joining us for a brief report here, I believe, on George Takei, if I'm not mistaken.
I for Earth, H
is this her
power.
Music?
Yeah, this is Bobby Dooley music.
Good in either corner, flower.
This is the stupidest, most ass music.
I think this is good for her.
Is for knick-knack. L is for
Bobby Dooley, is this who is this? Bare Naked Ladies?
Yeah, Bare Nude Ladies.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Well,
Margaret, Bare Naked Ladies. Bobby Dooley joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show from Western States Homeowners Association. Bobby, how are you?
Well, I was all right, Phil, until I heard that. I don't think that that's fair. And, Stephen?
Yeah, Bobby, get the other one.
If you have the other song that's available, which is The Bananas.
Doug, you want it? They're The Bananas.
Who are The Bananas?
He has the song, Phil, which is far more appropriate.
Excuse me. Bobby, this is Margaret.
Yes.
Well, I know you're all bored with me, but what do you mean The Bananas?
There's a song that Steve and I approved that I gave the thumbs up on, and Steve dropped the high sign today.
Yeah, I went ahead and gave the high sign on it.
And it's The Banana.
I don't know of any song...
Is it Bananarama?
That's it, Bananarama.
Oh, well then, speak English, please.
Margaret, would you just back off? This is Bobby's moment, okay?
Yeah, it's my moment. My moment.
You're such a child.
My moment, not yours.
You're a child.
My moment.
Okay, fine, your moment. Margaret, go and...
Yeah, let's go squeeze one off. You're already squeezing them off. Yeah!
Talk to me like that.
Just leave the studio.
And the way she beats up on the drooler, I am... Phil.
Okay, can we not call Bud the drooler?
Well, she does beat up on me.
She does. She beats the slobberer, and I think it's wrong, and I will tell you this now, Phil. With or without your approval, I'm going to go to the California Board of the Mentally... Whichever one handles that, I don't know which one it is, but I do know that there is a group of individuals at the state of California that are in charge of making people that are, I don't know what you call it, if it's
Talk about people that protect like a mentally retarded.
It's the California Board of Protecting
Slobberers.
Do you mind, Margaret?
No, not slobberers.
You're going to go to the California Board and report what? That Margaret's been slapping around Bud?
Yes. Okay.
I got a business to run. I got to kick some asses occasionally. The players couldn't get a drink at the table.
Well,
what is that, the Godfather?
Yeah, all I'm going to say is, you can't slap me no more.
That's right, Bud. That's exactly right. But before we get into any of that, and before we even begin talking about any of that garbage, do you mind terribly if we get the banana?
All right, can we get the banana or whatever the hell this is so we can... Okay. Go ahead. Cue Russ Mitchell, please.
And now, The Phil Henry Show presents Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bobby Dooley, and this is the Western Estates Homeowners Association. This is where I give you fashion tips. I talk to you about things that are happening at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And I also talk about some of our favorite celebrities at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And as you know, an individual that we really feel we discovered, Steve, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we discovered this guy probably more than anybody would have discovered him.
Yeah, is George Takei. In the news, George Takei, his Facebook page, consistently virally popular. And when they say virally popular, they mean that it's going everywhere. Everyone loves it as much as if you had a virus, you know?
Right.
So
it's not exactly the best comparison, but when they say viral, it catches.
It infects everyone.
Yeah, it infects you.
Okay, Bud, I'm not talking to you.
Well, Bud's right. It infects you. But George Takei's Facebook mea culpa, when it was found out, it's been written with content by a ghostwriter. Everybody across social media felt betrayed, terribly, terribly betrayed, and felt terribly, terribly violated in a great many ways, Mr. Hendry. George Takei's Facebook mea culpa is much in line with the character we've all grown to love on Facebook, and it seems that the brewing scandal will not hurt the Star Trek and social media star so much, simply in part because the voice in which he answers the questions is the same we've gotten used to on his page. In essence, the ghostwriter seems to capture Takei to a pretty decent tee. And following on that...
Oh, would you get to the point, please?
Margaret.
Excuse me.
Well, you're doing all this build-up. What did he say?
I'm getting to it. Now, thank you very much.
Well, there you go.
No, not there you go. She hangs up when you butt in. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, you did it on purpose.
I'm testing to see what kind of fortitude she has. She's gutless. And I told you this at the beginning.
Why do you butt in when you know it's going to just upset her?
She's got to move this along, Phil. It's taking too long.
No matter your persona, we all cobble together bits of information. I don't know. Takei just basically said he doesn't give a big sweet damn, okay? He doesn't care. If you don't like it, take it and pound it. That's what he said. And I don't follow George Takei on Facebook. I think a lot of his popularity, it was born of the character he played on Star Trek. Now, I'm also saying that the man obviously has a great way with social media.
Yeah, you don't have the same kind of way with it.
What are you talking about, Bud?
Well, you've only got about 13,000 followers, something like that.
Right, because I'm on overnight radio. That's about as anonymous as you can get, man. I mean, I'm on an overnight radio show, and I'll hold my opinion at that.
You're going to say something bad.
I am holding my opinion. Let's just say that, you know.
How many Twitter followers do you have?
We got about 12,000 Twitter followers. So, you know, it's not nothing to sneeze at, but by the same token, it ain't all that great because there's cats on the radio, but they're all doing morning drive.
Yeah, Opie and Anthony got 100,000.
Okay.
What does Bubba the Sponge have?
Bubba the Sponge. Bubba the Love Sponge?
Yes.
Bubba's probably got about 100,000. But both of those guys do morning drive radio shows. They are in primetime radio, okay? And they've been doing morning drive for a long time. So we're a late night show, man. And we're on at a time when there are fewer sets in use. Oh, yeah, and on top of everything else, our show sucks a lot of times. I'm kidding. All right, we'll be right back.
Well, you said it.
Well, no, I didn't say it. I'm kidding. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Now, what's the banana?
Phil Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. And philhenryshow.com and Twitter. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhenry. Margaret, you're there?
Yes, it's twitter.com/Margaret Gray.
Bobby Dooley is.
Yeah, Bobby Dooley is.
Fine.
Well, all right. It's Phil Henry, or excuse me, it's twitter.com/Bobby Dooley, BobbieDooley. Bud Dickman, the Bud Dickman, Bud, BudDickman. Robert, you're not there, huh?
No, man, I don't do no Twitter.
Okay, Robert's not on Twitter, so check it out if you'd like to. We're also at Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. A former elementary school teacher in Southern California has been charged with having sex with a boy under the age of 14. Wow.
Woo!
Man.
You talk about hard up.
Well, I almost get to the point sometimes where if I hear about a teacher having sex with a young man who's 17 or 16, it's bad. It's against the law, yes. But you don't look at them the same way that you may. They are breaking the law. They should go to jail.
Well, wait a minute. What are you saying?
I'm saying what every other man is saying, which is, it's a very tough thing to categorize this, in my mind, as a twisted. And I admit I have to learn. This is my own educational shortfall. That when you hear of a adult teacher having sex with molesting an underage boy, it's difficult for me to imagine that in the same ways I think of a man sexually abusing a young girl. But I admit that that's my own hang up, man. I'm not saying they got it wrong. I don't have the ego that says, well, since my experience is such and such, then I admit I got something to learn here, because if it happened to me, and it affected my life negatively, and I would not want to be saying that to somebody or trying to get somebody to understand that and having them looking at me and saying, well, come on, kid, you must have really enjoyed it. You don't look at it. If there are people suffering, there's people suffering. But I mean, this is going beyond the pale. This is a under the age of 14. Her name is Malia Brooks. She was suspended several months ago by the Simi Valley Unified School District. Simi Valley is a town here to the north. West of Los Angeles. It is toward the Conejo Valley, which is an area of Southern California that sort of gets, you're getting closer to the Central Coast. You're getting up toward Ventura and further up Santa Barbara. Simi Valley is a place where there are a lot of police officers that live there. There are a lot of firefighters that live there. It's been described as the cop land of L.A. It is regularly ranked as one of the safest cities in America. And so, it's got a reputation to live up to. And this ain't obviously all that good for its rep. This teacher, 32 years of age, she surrendered to police on Tuesday, according to Channel 5 KTLA television in Los Angeles. She was being held in lieu of $2 million bail. Man. Simi Valley Police Detective Casey Nicholson said Brooks was teaching sixth grade at the Garden Grove elementary school when the investigation began in February. She was suspended and then she later resigned. Brooks faces a total of 5 charges: lewd acts with a child under 14, Investigators say they believe there was only one victim. The school and district administration have fully cooperated with the police. Brooks is a mother of two. She's divorced. In October 2011, a local newspaper, the Ventura County Star, featured her as a cook du jour. What the hell does that mean?
Well, she must have been some sort of a...
She cooks du jour.
You don't cook du jour.
Did I like a gravy?
No, it's not gravy. Cook du jour. She was probably some really great cook. All right, so Ventura County Star, way to do it. Channel 5 does the legwork on finding out. I'm kidding. I shouldn't even say that. That's the cheap shot.
They don't know. Channel 5, what do you mean they did the legwork? All they had to do was read a police blotter.
A police blotter?
I said police blotter.
What?
I'm trying, excuse me, but my bridge work. A police, hold on. Yeah.
Margaret, what are you doing?
Hold on. I've got a loose bridge. Gear. Bud, get that ball peen hammer.
Wait a second. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get my teeth fixed.
Here you go, Miss Gray.
All right. Okay. All Channel 5 had to do was look at a police blotter.
Yeah, it's not a bad bridge there.
I didn't know you have upper bridge. So we're going to have a problem now with your teeth?
No, you won't have a problem with you. I've got a problem with you.
Yeah, Miss Gray, you should probably be off mic while you're fixing your teeth.
What do you think about me like a microphone, Bill?
Don't tell him to stick it up as you know what. You got your teeth are rattling around in your head. I can't understand what you're saying.
Nobody can understand it. You better get off mic.
Oh, are you kidding me? You're going to bring Hall into this? I can tell that you're having a hard time keeping your teeth in your mouth.
My people in my mouth.
All right, Mr. Hall? Yeah, Mr. Hall? Ms. Gray won't get off the air and everything, and we told her to, and she said she... Okay, David.
Yeah, David.
Yeah, what's up?
Margaret lost the epoxy.
What's going on? Well, all right, I mean, I can understand her.
I can't understand her.
Well, then why don't you listen a little harder? You know that tonight is our 6-month anniversary, me and Daphne... And
I don't care about you and Daphne. I can't understand what she's saying.
Thank you very much, Margaret. I'll talk to you guys later.
What are you doing, running the show now? I can't understand anything you're saying.
Yeah, I said to listen harder.
Listen harder. Man. What? Don't say harder in a dirty way. I didn't say it in a dirty way. You're the one that said, listen harder. What? You know what?
I can understand it. What, Margaret? Do the show and shut up.
Don't you tell... Who's saying that?
She is.
I didn't know that you had upper bridge work problems, and I certainly didn't know that if they came unglued... Like, as Bud was saying, a man's mind coming apart, that you would sound like that. But you sound... You and your husband, Frank, are... No one can comprehend anything you guys say.
How dare you? Where do you think that I'm going to hang?
I don't know what you're saying.
How dare you?
He's saying, how dare you? Frank's just as understandable as the drooler, meaning me.
So, in other words, you're insulting him as a drooler... And you sound like you're missing your entire tongue. Say that again.
You want to do the show without her?
Yeah, tonight I'd rather I do the show without you.
But you're not going to because she's got a contract.
All right, so there is the story there on the Simi Valley teacher, and I don't know when this stuff is going to end. It's just disgusting. Oh, my God. I didn't understand what you're saying.
Dad, why don't you get past that story, because it's not very uplifting, and nobody want to hear about a perv.
Yes, thank you. Well, I didn't want to read it anyway, but... I didn't say she was a piece of ass. No, I did not.
Well, you've been horrible.
Okay, that's great, and I think that you're probably right, but in this case, I think it's very, very important. All right, we're done with it. Now, here's a story. What would you do to a husband who took your $23,000 ring that he gave you... an engagement ring worth $23,000, and the dumbass sold it at a garage sale by mistake. Margaret?
If Frank did that, then I'd have him running at the Arlington Million as a gelding. Well, finally, you're lightening up.
Yeah, that was funny. Well, he thought the box was empty, but a California husband accidentally sold his wife's $23,000... I don't know what town it's in. What difference does it make? White trash?
Yep.
I don't know. It's Laguna Niguel. Does that sound like white trash to you? Doesn't sound like it to me. It sounds like some rich people. At least they're comfortable.
Comfort is relative.
In any event, he thought the box was empty, but a California husband accidentally sold his wife's $23,000. Would you get your teeth glued in so I don't have to keep listening to this?
There, are you happy?
Yes, I'm happy. Why didn't you do that sooner?
Because I was waiting for the epoxy to dry, you...
Goober.
Goober, thank you, bud.
Yet. He thought the box was empty, but a California husband accidentally sold his wife's $23,000 diamond ring for $10 at a garage sale on June 1st. Each year, our community holds a garage sale. I was in the hospital. I just had a baby, so my moron husband thought... No, she didn't say that. So my husband thought it would be fun for my other kids if they could sell some things at a garage sale, said Raquel Cloutier of Laguna Niguel, California, who owns the ring. Owns? I don't think so. I think she owned.
Wait a minute, Phil. That ring was sold by mistake.
Well, the ring... Let's be clear. The ring wasn't sold. It was the box that the ring was in. That was sold. The ring was in the box. The husband sold the ring box is what he sold.
But the clod sold the ring.
He sold the box for $10. There was a ring in it, yes. So she thinks she still owns it. In fact, the Good Morning America Yahoo News thinks she still owns it. In fact, probably everybody thinks she still owns it, except me.
That's only because you lost a ring on a golf course, and you're all pissed off because the old bag that took it home has still not returned it to you. Isn't that right?
Pretty much, yes. He didn't know that before I went to the hospital, I put my ring in that box. I wanted the ring to be in a safe place and out of the reach of my 2-year-old twin, said Ms. Cloutier. Well, guess what? You put it in an unsafe place. You put it in a place where your clawed husband, drooling all the way, took it, sold it, $10, 23 G's, goodbye, mwah, hasta luego, baby. Cloutier realized her ring and the box it was in, if you'll pardon the expression, was missing a day after she returned from the hospital June 5th, one day before the anniversary of D-Day. Now do you see the connection? Neither do I.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. I go into my husband's closet, can't find the box, he can't either, pardon the expression. Then he tells me he sold it, and I say, you sold my box? He said, well, the ring that was in it. And the whole thing just devolved into a screaming and crying match, but then we shook hands because it was a big misunderstanding.
Wait a minute, let me see.
Don't pull that out of my hand, I'm kidding around. Well, we'll be back to give you the upshot on that stupid story and more here on this Wednesday night Phil Hendry Show, 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Don't forget to watch our website after the show. Check out our show log. And tomorrow morning, of course, we'll have a podcast of the show available to all of our BSPs.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I will be able to pick up a mobile.
Put the glue on, will you?
I'm going.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. What are you showing, bud, on Phil TV?
That's the Ferrari Grand Prix.
What do you mean the Ferrari Grand Prix?
It's one of the races from Europe.
Yeah, no, I understand that it looks to me like it's a motor race. It's a Grand Prix race. But why are you doing that?
Because it's bitching. It's more bitching than anything you could imagine. And see right there. Look, see how the cars go fast and everything.
Yeah, it's season, man. But just trying to say, what's the name of it?
Well, it's a Grand Prix race.
Yeah, it's the Ferraris right there.
That's the name of a car. What's the name of the race?
It's the Canadian Grand Prix.
The Canadian Grand Prix. Okay. Why? And so you're showing some of that on during the break. Bud was rolling all kinds of weird. Well, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and then yesterday we had a Hitler movie, and then another time we had that guy dancing like he's got something wedged.
A guy dancing like he has something wedged.
Yeah, it was like that nudie cootie.
Oh, it was part of the nudie cootie movie they were dancing.
Oh, that black and white?
Yes, don't say black and white like you're all racist.
What?
Well, you did kind of say it dismissively.
I didn't say dis... What did you... All right.
Oh, Phil, you're so black and white. You're saying it very dismissively as if you're saying, you know, please, someone, get the Lysol.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not yeah. You guys are idiots, okay?
I'm an idiot, am I?
Yes, in that instance, yes. Okay, now I wanted to get back to something here.
I'm an idiot.
I apologize, Margaret, but you were not being very smart. I wanted to get back to something here. Now, this guy that sold his wife's ring for... He didn't sell the ring. He sold the box and didn't know the ring was in it. Now... During the break, we were going to, you know, move on to another story. But then Dan Northcraft, our close personal friend and engineer, said the following thing. He said, oh, you've heard of people get angry at their spouse and they sell something of value for hardly any money. I said, no, I haven't heard of that. He says, oh, yeah. They get really pissed off at their spouse for whatever reason and they take something of great value and they sell it. And Dan was speculating that maybe that was the situation here. She says her husband feels, quote, really terrible, but you'll notice nobody interviewed the husband. Maybe they should have. Maybe he would have had a very believable story. Oh, you know, I can't believe it. But if you're having a garage sale and...
Well, now, Dan thought of this, not you, Phil.
I know Dan thought of it, but he thought of it after I made the following point, if I may. If you're having a garage sale and you're selling things, okay... Since when are you, like, reaching up and feeling around on a shelf?
Well, you don't know that he was feeling around.
Didn't she say she put it someplace where it would be safe? Now, to me, that sounds like a place that is going to be out of the view of people. It sounds like a place that you can't just reach and grow. Oh, look at that. I'll take this and sell it at the yard sale. So it's like it's a place. He's got to find it. And he finds this box. And the first thing that comes into his mind, or maybe the second or third, but at some point after finding the box, says, hey, this would be a really good thing to sell at our garage sale, takes it down there, and sells it for $10. And don't you open a box. If you see a ring box, what's the first thing you do?
Ask how much?
No, man. If you see, if it's in your house.
Wonder how it got there.
Margaret, what do you do?
I open it up to see what's inside.
Exactly. Ask how it got there.
That's what I'd say. What's a ring box do in my house? I'm not wearing no ring.
You're not wearing no ring. You're not wearing a lady ring.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a lady ring.
Okay, fine. You're not wearing a lady ring. But you got a ring box. Aren't you going to open up, man, and see what's inside? How did it get here? This clown didn't do either thing. He took the box and said, let's sell it. It's our yard sale. So he goes out, puts it down, sells it for $10. What's to stop anybody from considering, why shouldn't we consider that in the same light, if you will, as some of these other events? Now, I actually went and did some research because Dan had given me some direction on this. There's the story of a disc jockey's angry wife selling his sports car worth $45,000 for less than $1.
What?
Exactly.
Man, I ought to be able to slap a woman.
You should never slap a woman.
Right there, sell a sports car?
No, you should never slap a woman, okay?
What if she slapped you?
You should never slap a woman.
What, she kick you in the ball?
Kick me in the ball?
The uniball.
What about the uniball?
That's what's going... Where have you been, Phil? Lance Armstrong? It's something to consider.
If she kicked me in the ball... No, it's nothing to consider with me because I've got two healthy ones, okay?
All right, Phil. Hey, way to do it. Phil Henry has two testicles.
Sorry. I don't know what point you're trying to make.
The point is, what if she kicked you in the ball? Would you then slap her?
No, I would not. I'd go get some ice.
Yee-ow!
Don't you laugh at me.
Take it easy. $45,000 car... And this woman sells it for less. A controversial radio DJ's wife sold his $45,000 sports car on eBay for less than $1 after he flirted with model Jody Marsh on air. Now, this was in Great Britain. Kerrang 105.2's Tim Shaw told the sexy babe she was that he was prepared to leave his wife and their two children for her.
Man.
His wife was listening and immediately started an auction on eBay to sell his Lotus Esprit Turbo with a buy-it-now option of $1. The item description, I need to get rid of this car in the next 2 to 3 hours before my husband gets home to find it gone and all his belongings in the street. This car was sold for under 5 minutes.
This is bullcrap.
No, it's true, man. It was sold under 5 minutes. It wasn't the first time this DJ upset his 27-year-old wife. When she was pregnant, he rang up her sister live on air and said he thought about her while having sex with his wife. Mrs. Shaw said, when he said he would leave me and the kids for Jody Marsh, that was it for me. I'm sick of him disrespecting this family for the sake of his act. The car is his pride and joy, but the idiot put my name on the logbook, so I just sold it. I guess that's the British term for...
I think it's like the pink slip.
Okay. I didn't care about the money. I just wanted to get him back. Lotus, similar to the one sold for less than... Oh, they show a picture of it. She added, there is no hope for a reconciliation. A Kerrang 105.2 spokesperson said the DJ was absolutely gutted. Gutted? Like a fish? What's the matter?
Well, that's a very sad story.
Oh, get out of here. The guy, frankly, you know what? When you do that, when you live your life on the air like that, people are ready to cut your you-know-what. It's happened to me. It happens to everybody. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.